This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in.
That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Oh, Manchester United. Are we finally back, sir? It has been a while. Games postponed. Was it Brentford, Brighton, blah, 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 blah. Bees, sir. But we have a big game, we think. Newcastle on Boxing Day plus one, the 27th, sir. We're not playing on Boxing Day, which is kind of weird, but looks like they're going with it. Looks like the Premier League is gritting their teeth and just no shutdown. Let's roll and make it work. How you feeling?
Sir, have a holiday, Dark Ale. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all American Red Devils. It is that time of the season, and it is bizarre not to have Manchester United playing. It feels like we've had 3 months off here at the American Red Devils podcast. I can't wait to get back to basics. It's time to see, sir, Ralph's Red Army, as you like to say. We got a new manager. There's a lot to get excited about. The gegenpress, etc. I feel like this long two-week break for Manchester United, it's been a tough one with the Omicron variant outbreak in the EPL with the games canceled left and right, but they decided to keep calm and carry on. And as fans, I couldn't be more excited that they're just going to try to play through. I don't think they have much options. I don't think they have many options here, but I am excited to see Manchester United again. Boxing Day, day after Boxing Day, I will take it at this point. I'm dying for some Manchester United football.
I mean, that's semantics at this point. We're getting 12 p.m. games, sir. When's the last time we had one of those? When it wasn't Champions League. But like you said, it feels like we've had such a crazy long break. Like we've been gone for weeks on end. I don't know if Ralph's been gaining from it. I don't know how much time he's had with all of the squad or how much they've learned from the last lockdown or his time at other clubs during their lockdown in terms of learning about his team or in trying to instill his tactics to them. But either way, it's a big game because it's big 3 points that we need. The teams in front of us, some of them are on a canter, sir, including the fight for top four, which has gotten quite competitive, especially with us missing games. So Newcastle, they're near the bottom, 19th place, I believe, last time I checked. Big game on the road at St. James Park, so they're going to be up for it. We've been up there. It's a train ride. It's farther than Manchester. You know, London to Newcastle was, what, 4 hours? So that was a hell of a train ride.
So as far as the update for Manchester United, they have close to a full squad back in training as of today. Training ground reopened yesterday, Tuesday, after a four-day closure to the first team following the outbreak. Ronaldo was back. Some players came in Tuesday, including Van de Beek, Greenwood, Lingard, and Shaw. They only spent 10 to 15 minutes there, so they probably tested positive, had to go back home. So, look, staggered returns. We're open for business. Ronaldo did post a training photo as well. I think it showed that the winning team in training. I'm looking at Fred, Ahmad, McGuire, Telles. So we got Lee Grant there as well, Lindelof, and Rashford. So, you know, like, there's enough players.
We got a team.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. You got to beat Newcastle, even with the B team here for Manchester United, but it's good that things are back to normal. Also, if you kind of compare this outbreak to what we're seeing in the States and different COVID protocols, is sort of, I think NFL, if a player has tested positive, then for 90 days, they don't need to be tested. So it's almost like all these teams are going to be going through this. The fact that we have had a bunch of players test positive is likely we won't see that again until, you know, obviously the 90 days, maybe the spring. So it looks like maybe it'd be a good thing to get it all out of the way a little bit here, assuming everyone's safe, because then they're unlikely to test positive, you know, in the coming months. So there is a little bit of a positive there for Manchester United.
Yeah, and, you know, just bringing back to the point about the continuation and not doing the pause, you know, in the era of like, hey, it's almost the end of 2021, entering 2022 with a new variant. It's like, I think that is kind of got to be the ethos. It's like, we have to figure out a way to play with this virus around. So it's going to be interesting, sir. We got a bunch of games coming up. We haven't had games for a while. The boys should be well rested. They're all looking to impress. There's a lot of news coming. January transfer window, sir, is right around the window, right around the corner, like 9 days away. So looking forward to that. It's probably going to be a lot of outs, but should be noise. The Muppet in me always enjoys it. Always enjoys it, sir. And all these like free agents that are coming over the next 6 months, it should be exciting. But hey, now these are the games that Manchester United's got to be winning. Newcastle, sir, on the road. No excuses. 3 points. 3 points. This is not going to be easy.
No, I'm not going to be one to like sugarcoat this and been like, this break's kind of taking the air out of the balloon for me. You know, it's hard to keep track of, you know, games in hand. Manchester United, you know, we played 16. The top four teams have played 18. You know, so now it's kind of this whole game in hand thing where before we're kind of going in lockstep a little bit. It just kind of took the air out of the balloon a little bit. And also talking about transfers, a lot of people leaving, you know. What do you do with Pogba, Martial, Jesse, et cetera. So, you know, and also the new manager, he hasn't been able to train them. So you can look at it, glass half empty, glass half full here at the American Red Devils. But sir, quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, you want to support independent fan content, check us out on Patreon. We believe in 2021. Patreon is the best way for you guys to support us directly. You can sign up from four tiers. We give away pin stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. Check us out on Patreon. We drop a behind the scenes exclusive Patreon episode every single month. We'll be dropping our December episode right before New Year's. Also, check out our website. We have great fan generated blog content, www.americaredevils.com. Also, check out our merch. We got hoodies, sort of beanies, blankets, shirts, scarves, you name it. It's winter. We keep you warm. It all looks great. Everything you buy helps the podcast. Thank you to everyone who's bought a hoodie. They are phenomenal. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews, but speaking of which, so those hoodies. It is a cold, wet winter in Northern California. Sir, get yourself one of those blankets that keep you warm. Same with the knitted hat or the hoodie. Speaking of merch, speaking of supporting the pod, a great way to do so is to write a 5-star review on iTunes. And if you do so, send a screenshot to americaredevils@gmail.com with your mail and address, and we will send you some free merch. Great way to support the pod. Goes a long way. And, you know, we couldn't do it without you. Helps us get found organically. Sir, next match. Can you believe it? Is it real? I don't know. I can't tell. Like you said, it's like it kind of did take the air out of our sails a little bit. I feel like, all right, there's supposed to be 3 games basically in a week. We play in Monday, Thursday, Monday. And if that actually happens, that's exciting because, you know, assuming we have the players to play those games, it's going to give Ralph an opportunity to mix things up. Some players are coming back into the fold that haven't been available, i.e. Varane, Cavani, who I'm certainly excited to see under our new German manager. So, sir, I'm excited. The show must go on. They decided that we are playing football. We're gritting our teeth. We're getting on with it. So let's go, boys.
I'm going to say I'm nervous. You know, for everyone who doesn't remember, obviously December 11th, our last game against Norwich, took the penalty to beat Norwich, who, you know, I don't need to tell you, they're pretty bad this season. Didn't look ourselves. You know, we played the kids at Young Boys. We had a great, you know, start to Crystal Palace, didn't score. So I just kind of see this fits and starts under Rangnick. And then you have the outbreak. He's not able to train everyone. So I think it's probably back to kind of slop shop football against Newcastle. Newcastle's packing it in. I just think the players' fitness with the outbreak, et cetera. So we're kind of back to the excuse factory a little bit with this Newcastle game, where even if we don't play well or even if we lose, it's going to be like, okay, well, Rangnick, he hasn't been there a long time, yada, yada, yada. Sir, we've heard that podcast before. But then it's a tight turnaround. So Rangnick not going to be able to get the lads on the training pitch, more than like 1.5 days against Burnley, and then Wolves again. So a relentless schedule after this weird COVID break. It headwinds for Rangnick right now. I'm just concerned about, you know, also McKenna left, Carrick obviously departed. He's getting staff in. It's sort of this sort of piecemeal thing. So you got to give Rangnick time, and all the fans want to see great football like tomorrow. It's not going to happen. I think there's going to be some growing pains here just because of the shit show that it has been at Manchester United since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer departed. So maybe, you know, Ole was it was bad juju.
Well, no, I just think it's the element of, like you said, it's not going to happen overnight. And at the same time, there's been extra disruptions. And at the same time, they made the decision a month late. You know, they could have used an extra, those early international windows that they had actually at their disposal if they made the move to get rid of Ole after the Liverpool match. But either way, like you said, I would expect more of the same of what we've been seeing to date under Ralph, right? It's like, it's going to be a little disjointed. I would imagine at times it's going to look just like it did a couple of months ago. And hopefully at times we see some of that high press football that he's famous for, that, you know, some of his compatriots are also so famous for. And some of the players that are available, it's like, you know what? Players that not necessarily have gotten a look or a lot of minutes under Ole. So I'm excited. Ahmad, I think Ahmad's not going on loan anytime soon. Same with Lowe, he's not going anywhere. So you know what? Like you said, the Lingards, the Martials, the Paul Pogbas, they will either be sorted or on the way to be sorted this January. I'm excited about the players that are going to stick around that have a chance to kind of make an impression on the manager. Not to mention the Alangas, the Hannibals. There's a lot of exciting young players in this squad, below the squad, ready to go that, like, hey, I know a lot of these older guys or guys out of contract are looking to leave, but you know what? There are people willing to fill their spots.
Just quick check in with the table here. We have Man City in first place at 44 points, played 18. The Scouse Bastards at 41, playing 18. Chelsea at 38 points, played 18. Chelsea really slipped up. Arsenal, fourth place, 32 points at 18. West Ham, 28 points at 17. And Manchester United, 27 points at 16. Sir, I mean, this is kind of where we're stacking up. We're behind Arsenal, but if we won our games, we would be in fourth place. This is how close it is right now. Every game is almost a must win. And like we said, a lot of headwinds facing Ralph Rangnick trying to get this team up to snuff. And as far as headwinds, we're going to be going away to the Tyne. It's going to be cold up there. St. James's Park, December 27th. It's going to bite that wind, sir. Might even be snow up there. Game week 19 kicks off at noon Pacific, December 27th and 3 p.m. Eastern. I'd wake up at 4:30 for a Brighton match at this point. I'm dying for football. Manchester United have scored 112 Premier League goals against Newcastle. No team have scored more against a single opponent in the competition's history. Something tells me that stat's going to jinx us, sir. And only against Aston Villa 8 has Cristiano Ronaldo scored more Premier League goals than he has against Newcastle 7. His 7 goals have come in his last 4 league appearances against them, including a brace on his return to Manchester United in the reverse fixture this season. Something tells me Ronaldo is going to feature. Lifetime versus Newcastle United, we've won 90, drawn 39, and lost 43, sir. First time we ever played them, we beat them in Division 2 in 1895. We beat them 5-1 back when we were Newton Heath, sir. The green and gold till the club is sold.
Don't forget it.
We've won 4 of our last 5. Yeah, don't forget it. Richard Arnold. Who are you?
LOL.
Newcastle, they just begin slapped by everybody. Leicester City 4-0. Scouse Bastards 3-1. City shitty beat him 4-0. So I'm sure we're gonna make a meal out of this game coming up here on Monday. The club, Newcastle, was founded in 1892 by the merger of Newcastle East End and Newcastle West End. The team plays its home matches at St. James's Park in the center of Newcastle. They were recently purchased by a consortium, including MBS out of Saudi Arabia. He's got some coin. Richest team in the Premier League as far as total assets that their owner have. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting how they do it. We've seen this happen many times in the league. Some rich clubs out there. People putting billions in while the Glazers are taking billions out. Newcastle have won 4 league titles, 6 FA Cups, and an FA Charity Shield, as well as the 68-69 Intercities Fairs Cup. Everyone remembers that one. And the 2006 UEFA Intertoto Cup, the 9th highest total of trophies won by an English club, with Manchester United obviously being number one. I think the Scousemasters tried to say they have the most major trophies, but I believe United, I know United have the most trophies. It's absolutely crazy how people try to slice and dice that title. Newcastle's crest has elements of the city's coat of arms, which features 2 gray hippocamps. Sir, tell me what a hippocamp is. Before each home game, the team enters the field to "Local Hero" and "Blade in Races" is also sung during match days. They wear the referee kits. I mean, that's the number one thing when you're an American and you see Newcastle United, you're like, why would they wear what referees wear?
That was one of my most memorable things, sir, when my first experience with Manchester United, FIFA 99, sir. I think it was in your basement. And I remember the Newcastle kits threw me off. I was like, am I playing a team of referees? So I always remember the Newcastle kit, sir. The striped line, the infamous striped line. I was in Newcastle Ale. Hippocampus. Fish-tailed horses of the sea. There you go, sir. That's what a hippocampus is. A mythical
and
creature.
It's also a hippocamp, but there's also a hippocampus is a complex brain structure embedded deep in the temporal lobe. So the hippocamp, seahorse. There you go, sir. As far as, why don't they just say seahorse? I don't know. I don't understand. Either way, you know, Newcastle by the sea, shipbuilders, sir. Sunderland till I die. You know how it is up in the north. King of the north. As far as Newcastle, how they play, I'm looking, sir. I think we have
the wrong 11, sir. Apologies. Let's see this. Give me 1 second.
I need to do it live here on the pod.
Sir, and we got one of those as well. It wasn't even loud enough, unfortunately. We got to turn that up.
Okay, I got it. So Newcastle play in the 4-5-1. So, you know, really adventurous from Eddie. By the way, it's Eddie Howe, who you rated to be the manager of Manchester United, who's struggling right now. So you're going to see that. 10 men behind the ball. Callum Wilson up top. Wilcock, Willock, Hayden, and then obviously Dubravka, the keeper. Almiron came from Atlanta United in the MLS. Sir, I mean, it's Newcastle United. They're in a relegation fight. What are we worried about here?
I mean, we know what to expect, but we've seen how this team has played before we had a couple of those games canceled, postponed, whatever you want to call it. They're going to pack it in. You know, they're going to try and play on the break. Hopefully United can play kind of like consistently over 90 minutes, come out within 10, press them high, try to pass between the lines, sir. Stuff we talk about all the time. I want to see it. I want to see it from the beginning to the end. I want to see some exciting football. And we want to break this team down, sir, and move that ball quickly. So, I feel like we say the same thing every time. I feel like we're going to see the same kind of team. We play Burnley, who I believe is our Thursday match, sir. And then we got Wolves. You know, they're kind of slipping. So we'll probably see something similar as well. It's all about being able to break down, you know, that congested midfield.
So as far as leading scorers, Callum Wilson has 6 this year in the league. St. Maximum has 3. Lacazette has 1. So obviously Jonjo Shelvey, Longstaff, sir, back. I think it was Maddie or Sean. I think Maddie Longstaff had that banger, but they actually got rid of him. Either way, some of the lows that we faced against Newcastle, like the Mourinho comeback game, I remember watching a game in airport pre-COVID when that's Longstaff banger beat United, and then De Gea had that pitiful interview saying this is the lowest of the low since he's been at Manchester United. I mean, Newcastle for some reason don't have a good feeling going into this game. I don't know, maybe it's because I haven't seen United in a while. I'm a little paranoid. Physio room, let's get into injuries. Paul Pogba, you know, he is back in England. He has a new haircut. His agent is yapping. Seems like everything is back to normal. Tony Martial, his agent's yapping. Apparently wants to go to Sevilla. Seems like a good fit. I don't think they run a lot over there. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, knee injury, should be available. TBD. Victor Lindelof, I believe he's back because of training, but remember he did go off with pointing at his chest. Varane should be available. Cavani linked to Barcelona, and Juan Mata I believe he had COVID as well. So it's hard to know who actually had it, but this is the latest injury report. Rangnick will be talking tomorrow, so you can discount everything we just said here as far as who's available, because we will know tomorrow. Given that is where we're at, sir, what is your lineup for this game?
So let's try to put together an 11. I'm looking forward to this game either way. De Gea in net, world number one. He's back. Deleau, right back. We're doing Varane, Lindelof, Telles at left back, Fred McTominay, Bruno and Sancho, Ronaldo, Cavani. Let's do the Matador and Ronaldo up front, sir. The elder statesman. I'd love to see that. Who you got?
I'm going to say Dave says world number one in net. I'm going to say Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Lindelof. I'm going to say Luke Shaw is back. I'm going to do Fred, Matic. I'm going to do Bruno, Rashford, Ronaldo. And I'm going to do Ahmad. I think Ahmad gets in. I just think you got to rotate. Rangnick has to, who knows who's impressed, etc. So I'd like to see the youngster in. Booking the bookie, sir. We're heavy favorites, -210 for Manchester United, the draw +340, and Newcastle +550 to win. It's going to be much more even than that, unfortunately, I have a feeling. Given those are the bookies' odds, what is your score prediction for Newcastle?
So 1-0. They've been tight games thus far under Ralph. I think that continues. He's going to try and keep it tight. All about defense, you know, that's the first thing he wants to fix. Tacking, it's going to be a little disjointed, I would imagine. So 1-0, squeak it out. But we'll take it. What do you got?
I'm going to say 2-1 to Manchester United. One to say a draw, honestly. You know, it just feels like we're just going to be disjointed. It could be 0-0, honestly. Newcastle is going to be tough to break down. You know, we've struggled. Think about it. We struggled against Norwich, right? We struggled against Crystal Palace. These are teams that can defend. Newcastle can put a lot of people behind the ball. So hopefully it's not a snooze fest. Hopefully it will be exciting, you know, 5-0. Like I want to say as the Muppet in me, but I think it's going to be much closer than that.
Well, Saturday night game two, right? It's over the holidays. Knock on wood, this game goes ahead. They're going to be fired up. It's going to be a tough place to play. Night game, like I said, cold night. But a chance to impress the new manager. Big match, sir. Big 3 points because games in hand. We got to be winning those games in hand.
Sir, United in the news. United in the news. Manchester United appoint Ewan Sharp to Ralph Rangnick's coaching team at Old Trafford. Manchester United have announced the appointment of the Scotsman, sir. Rangnick and Sharp first crossed paths, or was first encountered at New York Red Bulls. Apparently the New York Red Bulls is where it is at for our coaching staff.
Yeah, buddy. Let's go. He worked as a
performance analyst there. The move bolsters United's backroom team following the departures of Michael Carrick and Kieran McKenna. Sharp's last post was at Lokomotiv Moscow. There you go. That's where he crossed paths with them. Where they worked together, and he previously worked with the New York Red Bulls and Toronto FC while also having a 2-year stint as Director of Performance Analysis at Northwestern University in the United States. Don't know what to make of these unknown coaches. You thought the coaches we had before were bad. These guys, you know, the nobodies of nobodies, sir, coming into Manchester United, another top club. Hiring C talent.
Sir, I think it's midseason, and also, like, I don't think everybody in the world knew who Ralph Rangnick was 3 months ago, 4 months ago. So, also, these are assistant manager roles that have worked with him, know his philosophy. This is slam dunk for me. We had, like, our assistant managers leave willingly, which is also a blessing in disguise. He brings in new guys who know how he likes to do it. This guy's a Scotsman as well, sir, if you know your history, which I know you do. We love a good Scotsman in the manager's position or assistant manager position. So why not? He knows how he likes to do it. Lokomotiv Moscow, Red Bulls, New York Red Bulls. I guess we're a feeder club for the New York Red Bulls, sir. We'll be signing someone that's played in the Red Bulls system. But either way, I mean, I think he just needs bodies and bodies that know how he likes to do it. So I have no problem with this appointment.
You know, I'm just playing, you know, I'm you know, being a little tough here. like you said, it's midseason. Rangnick just needs a bunch of yes men to do whatever he wants. And these are good opportunities. And these guys are hungry, right? Given those backgrounds, right? They're going to work hard. And that's all that matters, really, at the end of the day. If Rangnick was the permanent coach of Manchester United, right? He is only interim. So these are interim assistants, really. If he was the permanent coach, I would expect some better hires. Given he's interim, I think it's just like, hey, we got to get through this season. And then obviously, like I alluded to, this could be the sort of clearinghouse for like a Pochettino or a Ten Hag to bring in all of his guys. So, you know, these sort of C guys, they wouldn't, I mean, it's easy for them to step aside. There's no big egos here. They're all working hard. They'll find a place for them. I just think this kind of points to Rangnick sort of being an interim, you know, versus sort of hanging on past this year. I think it's crazy that this, you know, Ed Woodward, absolute genius, made up the interim manager, you know, like Aston Villa, they get rid of Dean Smith. They hire another manager. You know, Aston Villa doesn't go interim. They just hire another manager. Manchester United, interim, this, interim, that, interim. And
you said interim. How many more times? Say interim.
This
again.
Is crazy. Like, how long have we had an interim manager over the last 3 years? I mean, Ole was an interim manager for half a season. You're gonna have Rangnick be interim for half a season. It's a full season like wasted. Because if you're gonna make him the guy, make him the guy. You know, it's this indecision.
It's because they don't know what they're doing, and they're just trying to see how it goes. Right, because the whole approach and the same.
Yeah, but this is why you get these guys.
I know, of course, but again, but this guy at least has like a little bit more of a track record of doing what he is now being put in place to do than Ole did. But it's still the same from the Glazers, Ed Woodward, and the new Ed Woodward. Hello, whatever your name is. That it was just really just like, let's see how it goes, and like, he's interim. We can like make a real manager. We can like put him front office. If that's what, they don't know what they're doing, dude. They're just trying to just see how it goes, and that's kind of the Glazer approach.
So what's the problem with Rangnick being the manager? I mean, like, honestly.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, just, hey, he's the manager. We hired him. He's the best guy out there.
Like, that's it. Just call him the manager.
Like, why is the interim manager? And then, like, and then he's going to play well. It's like, oh, give him the deal. And then it's like, why do we need to do this? And then they give him the deal. And then he's got to stay an extra 2 years. You get what I'm saying? Like, make him the manager. And if he does well, then he stays. And if he does bad, he's fired. That's how managers go. Like, the lifetime of managers at a big club is not that long anyway. So you don't need 6 months interim. You just need a manager.
Just call him a manager. It's the same thing. You're effectively doing the same thing. It's just like, what?
Because he's
putting a word in front of it helps.
He's going to make calls on the squad. That's why it doesn't make sense to call him the interim. Because, like, apparently, like, by the way, the number one thing that pisses me off is all the people saying, oh, we're going to sign all these players in January. Yeah. How many times see Manchester United, like, we don't sign players in January? Rangnick has no transfer budget in January.
Sign Bruno.
It does not exist. Sir, that was because of the COVID summer, right?
And we were dying, but I agree.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, yes. Because of like COVID and then blowing up the market, that was like a year's business we were trying to do. Obviously, we signed Sanchez in January, but most likely it's like one deal, maybe if anything. And right now, like, we're sell to buy, obviously. So if you sell a Martial, if you sell a Jesse, if you do a deal for Paul P, anything you could buy, arguably, but January is not the time to do business. I think even Rangnick mentioned that. So the whole idea that he has this transfer kitty, he's going to go sign this like world-class CDM in January. It's not happening. You know, it's like, and also that's the way I just deal with business anyway with Manchester United, because it's better for me to be glass half empty and they be pleasantly surprised something happens versus like falling all the bullshit on social media, which is all bullshit. Like, Rangnick does not have $45 million to go sign a CDM.
No.
The Glazers don't give a fuck about our midfield. It is clear as day. They don't even give a fuck about him being the real manager. It makes no sense. They are worried about selling some players. Most likely will sell players and not replace them and then have him try to make do with this patchwork squad. And that's kind of how the Glazers operate for whatever reason.
So there's a lot of Muppets in the Manchester United fan ranks. Me, myself included. I'm a huge Muppet. Number one Muppet. So, you know, I like transfer windows. more than most. And what they do every time we had a new manager, and we just see this because we've seen a lot of new managers at Manchester United over the last 7 years, and even since we've done this delightful pod, is that like every time all the papers pretend like they're giving the new manager gets a war chest because all the Muppets want to hear about what the new manager is going to do, they're going to sign, myself included. So this is more the same. I think the outs are definitely legit. Like, the noise you heard from Martial instantly after we got a coach that was going to instill a high press philosophy. That was kind of funny. But some of these is just like, yeah, it's just kind of hilarious. Like Haaland, yeah, like we're back in for Haaland, sir. Haaland never ain't happening.
Wait, what?
Swung yeah. must miss. Who? Yeah, Haaland. Who?
Are you serious?
He's got a cousin. I heard he's got a cousin, though. He's got a cousin we can sign.
They're like, people are, I have anything Haaland related, I don't even read. Like, there's certain things that, like, even things like Martial, okay, we're going to get into it, sir.
It's like Pogba content. It's like, you don't even read it at this point.
Tony Martial says he wants to go to Sevilla. Now, this is coming from the Tony Martial camp because obviously his agent is furiously working to find a place for him to play. As far as, you know, Manchester United selling players go, no one's going to give Manchester United shit for Tony Martial. Manchester United are going to value him at like an insane valuation. So the whole point about like selling players comes down to a competent front office, really. And we've seen this in the past where like Eddie always postures up so hard on one side of the negotiation that he can't get business done. So at the end of the day, like, do I care about Tony Martial going? Like, not really. Why are we going to let Cavani and Martial go? That's a great example. Why are we letting two number nines go when we have Greenwood, we have Rashford, and we have Ronaldo? But Rashford's more of a winger. Greenwood's a nine, but he's been featuring on the wing. We do need we need one of Martial or Cavani, and all you're hearing in the press is they're both going. Oh, guess what? They're not. So I just don't understand Tony Martial trying to force the move. And then you look at Rangnick and you'd be like, this guy at the interim is going to be making the calls here? Who's making the calls? This is why this is such a mess at Manchester United, because Rangnick's like, I barely got in here. Like, of course I want Tony Martial on my squad. He's yelling that he wants to leave already. Who's going to deal with this mess? And the answer is most likely nothing will happen. These players are winding out their contracts and they'll leave on a free. Jesse will leave on a free. Pogba will leave on a free. Martial obviously can't, maybe get sold in the summer, but I think it's too early to make these calls in January. You're just going to hear a lot of smoke, a lot of agents talking, not a lot of fire.
I mean, I think there'd be a couple of these players that leave, you know, and Martial, like, I get it. I get it also for Ralph. Like, he's not going to fight for Martial because if he wants to leave, that's kind of the ethos too. It's like, you have to want to play for the club to be part of this. Cavani, you keep, dude. Like, over the last 2 years or year and a half, who's had more memorable contributions or contributions to the club and our performance on the field? It's been Cavani. And Martial, it's like, let him go. Hasn't really hit the heights that he did right out the gate, right with that first goal against Liverpool. And, you know, I don't think he's going to make it under a high press, gangnam press, sir. So if you can get a loan deal where he maybe like catches fire at Sevilla, but you know, this is another going to be front office jungling. And that's going to be the best is when Rangnick, he should be making the calls because he's one of the most competent football men that's been in a position in Manchester United in quite a while. So why not like let him make the calls? He's better than Richard Arnold. He's better than Ed Woodward. but he's going to see how incompetent his front office is because he is only one piece of the apparatus that is a football club, a football machine. And it's like he's going to have to rely on Matt Jughead Judge to get deals done. And that's going to be the funniest thing of all, sir, is like that's going to be the rubber hits the road is when he tries to get these good signings in or even tries to get players out to fund the signings that he wants to make is like he's not going to be able to get shit for Tony Martial, like you said. Like Lingard, they had it. They could have sold him for $15 million. They probably should have. They
were on 30. You said it. We're not going to win a major trophy, right? League, Premier League, Champions League with the Glazers in charge. That's what all this is. The players who don't want to play for the club, whose agents have to go to the press and whine and complain. The coach that just has to deal with all the bloat of the roster of the players who haven't been sold. And no one's happy. It's top down, sir. This whole thing is being run just like a complete shit show. It's all about selling cup of noodles. It's not about winning football matches. That's why we didn't sign a midfielder this past summer. We were desperate 4-1. It's why we didn't sign a center back the summer before that when we were desperate for one. It's why we haven't signed a young and upcoming number 9, and we've added Cavani, and we added Agalu, and we just papered over the cracks because they don't know how to run a football club. Speaking of not knowing how to run a football club, Manchester United have finalized the appointment of Richard Arnold, new chief executive, effectively replacing Ed Woodward. Apparently, he will take over starting in the new year's, and Woodward is expected to remain at United in a consultancy role for a number of months.
A number of years, more like.
Honestly, like, this is organizational rot.
Yep.
You can't have a company run in the manner that Manchester United is run, where decisions are made by the Glazers on a whim. They don't know anything about football. There's no long-term plan. There's no long-term vision communicated to fans. It is basically behind closed doors. Oh, by the way, they're going to communicate with the fans a lot after the Super League. They haven't done shit. Oh, by the way, they're supposed to basically fix Old Trafford after the whole Super League thing. Oh, by the way, they put a new coat of paint on it, apparently. Maybe fix like one leak. Haven't done shit. I mean, it would take over $1 billion to renovate that stadium, sir. There's no plan. They're just sucking money out, status quo. And oh, by the way, they're appointing another numpty to run this team. It's time for the Glazers to go, sir. Ed Woodward's gone. I'm fucking delighted about that. Fuck Ed Woodward. Get the fuck out of my club. Don't let the door hit you on your way out. I mean, if you want to talk about everything that went wrong over the last decade under this man, Fellaini, Mata, like all the dumb quotes he made, everything that he thought it was going to do. Oh, by the way, he engineered the Super League. Oh, by the way, even that failed. Oh, by the way, he resigned. And oh, by the way, he stayed. He almost ran this club out of cash. If we didn't beat Leicester during COVID to make it to the Champions League, we would have been seriously in trouble from a cash perspective. He's a complete numpty. He's run a great football team into the ground. He's whored out our brand internationally and patted himself on the back, have done nothing for Manchester United. The history of this club, sir, that we've studied, doing the history podcast, the Ed Woodward era will go down as one of the worst in our history. As far as what we won, that is pretty much dog shit, absolute dog shit under his reign. And it's just, I have a bitter taste in my mouth because the one thing, the cancer at the top, decides to go with Ed Woodward Jr. and not bring in someone who knows what the fuck they're doing, like, you know, Edwin van der Sar. They don't want to sack up and actually value what this football club has to offer, invest in this club, invest in the stadium, invest in the team, invest in talent to run this club. They don't want to do it. They just want to keep sucking money out. It is totally apparent by this appointment. This should send chills down all Manchester United fans' spine. Richard Arnold, Ed Woody Jr. is running this team. Why the hell do the Glazers want to own this club? There's no point. There's no point owning this club. You don't want to win.
Of course there is. It's money. It's all about money, sir. Always. It's always about money. Follow the
money.
They
have enough money.
No, they don't, dude, because they're infected by a disease called greed, and they're like, there will never be enough money. They could have $100 billion in cash, and it would still not be enough money because they will never have enough money. That's the point. But that's not the point.
They're stealing our happiness. They're stealing, like,
sir, I know, bro.
I understand if you want to, you know,
they make so much fucking money, like, sir. But like, that's why they do it. No, they don't have to try. They didn't try for Tampa for like 40 years, and then they barely try. Like, buying a player is trying. Anyway, sir, you said it. They could write a fucking Harvard case study. Harvard Business School case study on like Glazers or Ed Woodward and what they did to this club and how they basically like shot bullets in our kneecaps, sir, and like took a club that was at like the pinnacle of his greatness, 2005, 2008, 2009, and just like after the Ronaldo sale, just like gut it.
No,
bro.
It's Woodward though. Woodward
vis-a-vis the Glazers. Woodward. But the Glazers, yes, they were like, that was his stooge, but it's all because of the Glazers, him especially. Like, if he was smarter, saying, like, he could have done a better job with the money they did spend. They spent money and spent it poorly, bro.
No, that's Sanchez, what I'm saying. This is Ed Woodward's, this is his CV. Hired David Moyes, fired him early. Didn't back him.
No signings.
No He's like, oh, I can sign anyone I want. They get done and dusted by Fabregas, doesn't want to come. Oh, he signs Fellaini, overpays for him on the deadline, gives Moyes nothing, lets Moyes fire Sir Alex Ferguson's whole staff. Oh, by the
yeah,
way,
that was the best part.
Oh, by the way, he doesn't fire McKenna and Carrick now. The way he ran the club then, so it's like, gets rid of Moyes early.
There's 100 things like that, so there's 100 things.
Doesn't back Moyes, gets rid of him early, backs Van Gaal to the nines, even though he hasn't done it in so long, gives him way too much money. Van Gaal wastes it, then hangs on to him. Then after Van Gaal wins something, he fires him. Like, arguably when he was starting to, like, actually have United play well, decides to fire him. Then he brings in Mourinho, doesn't back him, arguably the manager you need to back, doesn't back him, then fires him. It's like, and then you hire an interim coach and you give him the deal before he even makes top four. Then he blows top four, and then we tread water during COVID and all this stuff. Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, and then we're here. Every single thing he's done, the opposite of what he should have done. The deals he did, like the Sanchez deal, is pretty much everything. That video of him playing the piano, sir. Every single thing. Pogba, Lukaku, selling Lukaku for a loss, not even getting paid from Inter. Every single deal he's done is horrible, sir. He's not been able to buy a player or sell him. It's just like complete shambles. You can't run a football team like this. You can't run a football club like this. 10 years of it, I'm like losing my mind, and now we got Richard Arnold. It's just like, when are the Glazers going to sell? It's just like, this is too much for me. Honestly, this hits a vein.
These guys, he's going off, sir. You're going off. Take it easy. Breathe. It's the Grinch that stole Christmas. Every year they come and steal Christmas. So they're not even like, they're greedy bastards, and they're also incompetent. So it's like, they have both going against them. It's like one thing, just like, damn, you're greedy as fuck. Like, you took your dividends during a pandemic when, like, you had to lay off staff and people couldn't come to the stadium and players weren't playing. You still took a $25 million dividend, like, ka-ching. But at the same time, they, like, literally gave confidence to a moron. Like, a moron, dude. This guy is not a smart person. He's not. Because it's, like, not that hard. All you do is, like, hire some reasonably competent people and still be in charge and then just kind of listen to them sometimes, and they would still be in a better place than what they've done since Fergie left. And even, sir, they were fucking shit up as Fergie was leaving. That's why he's like, I'm good. 20, I'm out. Let's call it a day. And you can't blame him because, dude, they're numpties, and I stand by it. Maybe we will, but I doubt it. I don't think we're winning shit of real significance until they fuck off.
Well, you're allowed to make mistakes, first of all, but, like, mistakes should get you to the right path.
You have to learn from mistakes, right? Or what's the fucking point of a mistake? They make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again, and they learn nothing, bro.
I know. Look,
Richard Arnold. Dark, sir. It's like a Christmas pod, holiday pod. No, should be light. No, Newcastle match. Let's go,
a
baby.
New
Newcastle.
Chief executive.
I know. It is
all,
sad, dude. It is,
sir,
sad.
A new chief executive is a big deal for the football club. Woodward made it 10 years, almost a decade. And by the way, he tried to engineer the Super League coup. And Ed Woodward spin zoned it. He said in the press, basically, oh, he resigned because he did not support the Super League. This is the type of guy this guy is.
I know.
And at the end of the day, it's like, if you're going to be the chief executive of a football club, you need to be able to communicate with the fans. You need to be able to have an interview. Like, the only interview he would do is a canned interview with Andy Mitten, lofting him softball questions. He wouldn't go on Sky Sports. He wouldn't say what the plan for the football club is. He wouldn't face the music from the fans. He wouldn't do anything. And it's like, you're the chief executive of Manchester United. You have to be able to hold your head high in the crowd. Your word matters. You have to be able to communicate with the fans instead of just robbing the bank and hiding behind closed doors, which is all he did. Oh, and he argued with Sir Alex Ferguson in the stands. This man knows no low. And by the way, don't let the door hit you on the way out. But Richard Arnold coming in, I'm expecting Ed Woodward light, the same thing. If he surprises to the upside, that'd be great. How about an interview with Sky Sports? How about coming out and talking to the fans? How about communicating a plan just like any CEO would? You know, the fans are the constituents of this club. Football would be nothing without fans. They famously put that on the banner during COVID. Oh, by the way, how about you act like it, sir? It's about time. I could go all day. Jumping into fan questions. Passionate about this, sir. I'm disappointed.
Dude, I know,
fan.
Man. It's
horrible.
We
deserve better.
We do. We do. We do. Because the club's had people like this around.
I'm not pulling no punches on this topic. Because if you see it, this team is run. It's like, this team's run horribly.
Horribly,
sir. It's one thing to run a club horribly. and then just like be like, yo, guys, we screwed up. Like, we don't, like, we're learning this thing, we're figuring it out. Like, I could totally understand that perspective. But the whole like running it horribly and then lying about it, that's the Ed Woodward special right there.
Sir, you said, you made a great point. You go like, dude, he's now a consultant, but he was the chief executive officer of Manchester United Football Club, like the biggest fucking football club in England. And he never went on Sky Sports. And so we had one of those streaming apps where we could watch
guys. I think it was 2014 he did interviews.
Dude, but think about that. Like, all the other ones are always on fucking Sky. Even like, even the fucking Scouse Bastard ones in Boston made an appearance after the fact, after the coup attempt. But like, I've never seen him once, sir. Like, and that's the thing, you just do because it shouldn't be that hard. They're not going to like it. It's not the Sun. You know, they're not coming out with fucking knives like Caesar. But dude, they're just a coward. He's a coward, bro. And they're just kind of like, this guy, he's like the same dude, bro. He's literally like the same dude. He's like a carbon copy.
No, it's like
a fatter version of him.
So like Bayern Munich had the fan forum, right? Where technically the fans have a say. And the fans are just booing him. But you got to at least take the boos. You know, that's what I was like. You know, it's like also like Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL. Like a good sports commissioner, a good like sports CEO. It's like, you got to be able to take the boos. You just got to take them on the chin, you know, because like that should motivate your job, because like the standard that has been set by him is unacceptable. Like Manchester United not competing for a Premier League title. Manchester United, literally, I want to repeat that. When have we been in a title race, sir? I think once, and we were in it in January under Ole, and we wilted like a wet noodle, right? I think it was last season we were in it for
a week
in 10 years. Obviously not 9 years, right? 9 seasons. Unfortunately, next season will be 10. But that's unacceptable for Manchester United, you know, and that's where we've become, or what we have become. Jumping into fan questions here. At Monkey Vision, quote, will we ever see Tony Martial play for Manchester United again? I will say yes, because that front office don't sell. They can't sell. That front office,
they don't move fast.
What's the... you know, you want to say
like January, bro. So deadline day.
they couldn't sell, heaters to Eskimos, bro. I'll tell
you. Really good. Yeah, exactly. They couldn't sell like free water in the fucking desert.
Exactly. They have to just, sometimes you got to take a hit in the pocketbook for the footballing operations. And that has been the issue. We don't move people on, and people just hang out and just collect those big wages. Phil Jones, how you doing? At Lemuel _ dynasty, quote, will Varane feature in the lineup for Newcastle United, sir? What do you make of that?
I kind of think he might, you know, assuming that he's kind of been here, you know, he hasn't had a COVID flare up where he's been out and then all of a sudden back. I would say, you know, he'd probably be as fit as any, assuming his kind of transition back would be great. I'd love to see him, sir, for this run of games. That kind of do that. He's a Rolls Royce defender, as they call him. I love watching him play. He's like silky, but you don't want to rush it, because we've also seen that movie before.
Sir, injuries. We all love Iran, but, you know, just like Cavani, some players, they get older, they got injuries, so they can't feature that often. I hope he is fit and back. I didn't see him in the training photos, so I'm going to say he probably doesn't feature. Will shortly for Manchester United. I don't think the leg is the issue. Maybe he got COVID. I don't know, because, like I said, we're going to hear from Rangnick tomorrow. We're going to get a lot more information. Sir, you know, it's a hard time when Richard Arnold is going to be the new man at the wheel here for Manchester United. But, you know, we got to get through it. Big matches, holidays. You're having me over for Christmas Eve dinner. This guy, he's got no ham. Short rib. Very excited. So are you telling about the Christmas Eve menu?
Sir, it's raining up here in Northern California. You know,
it's rain on the menu.
It's rain on the menu. Well, and there's supposed to be a patch of sun on Friday. So I was going to try and grill up some steaks, including short rib. Sorry, we're gonna do a little grill.
A bit steak too.
Nancy's gonna make some mac and cheese. So we're gonna, you know, we're gonna do a curveball. We're gonna see how the weather does, and then we're gonna like figure it out from there. So I'm gonna keep you in the lurch, one of those. But there's no ham, and I should have just gotten a ham just because that ham, sir, was so easy and so delish.
Alex is a nice guy. Has my family over for the holidays. You
big,
know, obviously,
big ham
not
guy.
Doing a lot.
Big ham guy.
For the holidays, but we hope everyone has a good holiday. They can have a ham. maybe some hot chocolate syrup, maybe a dark ale, spend some time with some friends. It has been a tough run here, 2 years in this insanity that is sort of COVID. We're seeing it affect all sports and everything, but I am encouraged by sort of the keep calm and carry on attitude. I think we all need to sort of embody that. It's going to be an interesting winter. Hopefully everyone has a good holiday. You know, sir, like you said, you just got to keep calm and carry on during these tough times.
Sir, absolutely right. You know what? I'm encouraged by the American Red Devil community. Sir, what you have built on Discord and what you have all built, listening in, contributing on the blog, buying merch, sir. Have a very happy holidays. Stay safe with the family. Sir, United is hopefully, I'm knocking on wood, sir, anywhere I can find it in the bunker. United's hopefully back 3 games in a week. Let's go. I cannot wait. And I hope everybody has a very, very awesome holiday, sir. How we doing?
What
we
sir, got? Pod never sleeps. You know, support us on Patreon. Check out our store, www.americareddevils.com. You know the drill. Apologies for the audio issues we have doing remote pods. We have no idea what's going on. So, again, we're trying our best here.
Facts.
I don't know why it is. Alex is not a computer guy, and I think he, like, kicks the cables when I'm not there or something. So, hopefully we'll sort that out. Sir, you got your top 10 downloads from the cities last 7 days?
Sir, it's in the computer? You got to put that on the soundboard. Okay, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Tacoma, Washington. Maghull, United Kingdom. Pearl in Texas. Oslo, Norway, Houston, Texas, Columbus, Ohio, Omaha, Nebraska, Derry, New Hampshire, Somerset, New Jersey. I should know that one, sir.
Somerset. Salami, New Jersey.
Salami. Poznan, Poland. And last but not least, Demarest, Georgia. Oh, that's number 11, sir. But appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We also got Dublin on the list. We also got Telford, UK on the list, sir. We couldn't do it without the American Red Devils listening.
How you doing, Salami, New Jersey? Salamiville.
Salami, Jalami, sir. We're holiday, sir. We're like out of form, bro. I'm not match fit. So
that's what I was gonna say. Like,
I'm like stumbling, bumbling, rumbling over here.
No, I was gonna say apologies. You know, we have some tech issues. We're not match fit.
I'll
tell you, talking about Arnold and Woodward, that gets me match fit right there.
Well,
that
was like this guy's like lit the candle.
Fight the power, sir. That be let's go.
There you go,
fight the Blazers, get them out, son. We're gonna leave you with a holiday special, sir. Play that great song.
Let's do it, baby. Have a happy holidays. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone. Stay safe. Christmas,